In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Next, we are looking at Lesson 48 of My Catholic Faith, but before we get there, there is a chart on page 96 here, Apostolicity of Catholic Doctrines, adapted from Cardinal Gibbon's Faith of Our Fathers. And it's a chart, three columns. It shows the Apostolic Church, and it has 10 different points, and then the Catholic Church corresponding to those 10 points, and then the last column is the Protestant churches and how they correspond to the Apostolic Church. So I thought I would just read through those and we can make a comparison of what the Apostles taught, what the Catholic Church teaches, and then what the Protestants teach. All right, so the first article, Our Savior gave preeminence to Peter over the other Apostles. Quote, I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. In St. Matthew 16:19, strengthen thy brethren, Luke 22:32, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, from John 21:15-17. Go over to the next column. The Catholic Church gives the primacy of honor and jurisdiction to Peter and to his successors. And then the Protestant churches, other Christian communions deny Peter's supremacy over the other apostles. So the second one, the Apostolic Church claimed to be infallible in her teachings. When you heard and received from us the Word of God, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it truly is, the Word of God. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The Catholic Church alone of all the Christian communions claims to exercise the prerogative of infallibility in her teaching. Her ministers always speak from the pulpit as having authority, and the faithful receive with implicit confidence what the Church teaches, without once questioning her veracity. The Protestant churches repudiate the claim of infallibility, denying that such a gift is possessed by any teachers of religion. The ministers advance opinions as embodying their private interpretation of the Bible. Their hearers are expected to draw their own conclusions from the Bible. So I don't know how the Protestants can actually teach anything, because everything is subjective and is open to their own private interpretation. Right? In the third article, our Savior enjoined and prescribed rules for fasting. When thou dost fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, so that thou mayest not be seen by men to fast. St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. The apostles fasted before engaging in sacred functions. Quote, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. When they had appointed presbyters for them in each church, with prayer and fasting they commended them to the Lord. In the Acts of the Apostles chapter 14, verse 22. The teaching of the Catholic Church. The Church prescribes fasting to the faithful at stated seasons, particularly during Lent. A Catholic priest is always fasting when he officiates at the altar. He breaks his fast only after he says Mass. When bishops ordain priests, they are always fasting, as well as the candidates for ordination. The Protestants have no law prescribing fast, though some may fast from private devotion. They even try to ridicule fasting. Neither candidates for ordination nor the ministers who ordain them are ever required to fast on such occasions. The fourth article, the Apostolic Church, St. Peter and St. John confirmed the newly baptized in Samaria. Quote, they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 17. In the Catholic Church, every Catholic bishop as a successor of the apostles likewise imposes hands on baptized persons in the sacrament of confirmation by which they receive the Holy Ghost. In the Protestant churches, no denomination performs the ceremony of imposing hands except Episcopalians, and they do not recognize confirmation as a sacrament. Okay, the fifth article. Our Savior and His apostles taught that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ. Take and eat. This is my body. All of you drink of this, for this is my blood. From St. Matthew 26:28. Quote, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the sharing of the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not the partaking of the body of the Lord? From 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. Okay, the Catholic Church teaches with our Lord and His apostles that the Eucharist is truly and indeed the body and blood of Jesus Christ under the appearances of bread and wine. The Protestant churches condemn the doctrine of the real presence as idolatrous and say that in partaking of the communion we receive only a memorial of Christ. Back to the Apostolic Church, article number 6. The apostles were empowered by our Savior to forgive sins. Quote, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. From St. John chapter 20, verse 23. God, says St. Paul, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. From 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. The Catholic Church, the bishops and priests of the Catholic Church, as the inheritors of apostolic prerogatives, profess to exercise the ministry of reconciliation and to forgive sins in the name of Christ. The Protestants affirm, on the contrary, that God delegates to no man the power of pardoning sin. Okay. The seventh article, we're back to the Apostolic Church. Regarding the sick, St. James gave this instruction, quote, is anyone among you sick? Let him bring in the presbyters of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. From St. James chapter 5, verse 14. Now we get to the Catholic Church. One of the most ordinary duties of a Catholic priest is to anoint the sick in the sacrament of extreme unction. If a man is sick among us, he is careful to call in the priest of the church that he may anoint him with the oil in the name of the Lord. Protestants, no such sacrament as that of anointing the sick is practiced by any Protestant denomination, notwithstanding the apostles' injunction. Article number 8, the Apostolic Church. Of marriage, our Savior said, quote, whoever puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if the wife puts away her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. From St. Mark chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. And again, St. Paul says, quote, to those who are married, not I, but the Lord commands that a wife is not to depart from her husband. And if she departs, that she is to remain unmarried. And let not a man put away his wife. From 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verses 10 and 11. Okay, the Catholic Church, literally following the Apostles' injunction, the Catholic Church forbids the husband and wife to separate from one another, or if they separate, neither of them can marry again during the life of the other. The Protestant teaching. The Protestant Church is as well known, The Protestant Church, as is well known, have so far relaxed this law of the Gospel as to allow divorced persons to remarry during the lifetime of those they have divorced. Okay, and then we're on the last article, number 9, the Apostolic Church. Our Lord recommends, not only by word, but by His example to souls aiming at perfection, the state of perpetual chastity. St. Paul also exhorted the Corinthians by counsel in his own example to the same angelic virtue. Quote, he who gives his virgin in marriage does well, and he who does not give her does better. From 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 38. The Catholic Church, like the Apostle and his Master, the Catholic clergy bind themselves to a life of perpetual chastity. The members of our religious communities, for men and women, voluntarily consecrate their chastity to God. The Protestants, all the ministers of other denominations, are permitted to marry, and far from inculcating the apostolic counsel of celibacy to any of their flock, they more than insinuate that the virtue of perpetual chastity, though recommended by St. Paul, is impracticable. Okay. Now we're going to look, that finishes that chart there on the apostolicity of the Catholic doctrines, basically showing that the Catholic doctrine agrees verbatim with the Apostolic Church, what is taught by the apostles as recorded in the scriptures, and it is in contradiction, or the Protestant Church's doctrines are in contradiction to both the Apostolic Church and the Catholic Church. Okay. Now we're looking at 48, the apostles, first bishops of the Church. To whom did Christ give the power to teach, to sanctify, and to rule the members of his Church? Christ gave the power to teach, to sanctify, and to rule the members of his Church to the apostles, the first bishops of the Church. St. Peter was the first head. After a miraculous escape from prison in Jerusalem, he founded his see in Antioch. Here the followers of Christ were first called Christians. Peter made frequent missionary journeys through Judea, Samaria, Galilee, Asia Minor, and probably even Greece. He finally fixed his see at Rome. St. Peter presided at the Council of the Apostles in Jerusalem in the year 50 AD. At the same time that St. Paul was beheaded, St. Peter was crucified, head downwards, on Vatican Hill, Rome, 67 AD. St. John, the beloved disciple, lived at Ephesus and governed the church in Asia Minor. In the time of Trajan, he was thrown into a cauldron of boiling oil, but was miraculously preserved. Later, he was banished to Patmos, where he had the revelations, which we call the Apocalypse. He died at the age of about 100 years, the last of the apostles, and the only one who did not die a martyr's death. He left his gospel and epistles. St. James the Greater. St. John's brother labored in Judea and, according to tradition, traveled as far as Spain. He was the first of the apostles to be martyred, being beheaded in Jerusalem in the year 44 by Herod Agrippa. St. Matthew preached among the Ethiopians, Persians, and Parthians, and was martyred in Parthia. He wrote the first of the four Gospels. St. James the Less was bishop of Jerusalem. He was cast down from the pinnacle of the temple in 63 AD. He left one epistle. St. Andrew, St. Peter's brother, preached along the lower Danube and was crucified in Greece. St. Thomas preached in Persia, Media, and went as far as India. He was martyred in India, pierced with a lance at the command of the king. St. Philip preached in Phrygia and Scythia and was crucified at Hierapolis. St. Bartholomew preached in India, Arabia, and Assyria. He was flayed and crucified in Armenia. St. Simon preached in North Africa and was martyred in Persia. St. Jude preached in Syria and was martyred in Persia. He wrote the Catholic Epistle. St. Matthias, chosen to take the place of Judas, preached in Ethiopia, and was martyred in Sebastopolis. St. Paul was converted miraculously, Acts 9, in the year 34. He of all the apostles labored the most abundantly. He wrote many epistles. He is called the Apostle of the Gentiles because he carried the gospel to the pagan world. He traveled extensively and successively to Seleucia, Cyprus, Asia Minor, Phrygia, Galatia, Macedonia, Thessalonica, Athens, Corinth, Miletus, and finally Rome. From Rome he went to Spain and the East and then returned to Rome, where he was martyred in 67 AD. Did Christ intend that this power should be exercised by the apostles alone? No. Christ intended that these powers should be exercised also by their successors, the bishops of the church. The apostles first preached in Judea on the very first Christian Pentecost. Then they dispersed throughout the different countries of the then known world. Everywhere they preached, baptized, and ruled the Christian communities. They were the first bishops of the church. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. St. John chapter 20, verse 21. The apostles chose men to assist them, imparting to them greater or less powers. Before leaving a place, they chose a successor with full powers. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, verse 22. Those who received only a small part of the powers of the apostles were called deacons. Those given greater powers were the priests. Those appointed successors to rule in the place of the apostles were the bishops. Christ had given the apostles full powers to choose successors when he gave them the powers of his Father had given him. St. John chapter 20, verse 21. It was his wish that the apostles should have successors to continue the church, which he said would last till the end of the world. From St. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Without successors to the apostles, the church would have no rulers, and being unorganized, would never have lasted. And that concludes lesson 48 from My Catholic Faith. Basically, pointing this whole lesson this evening, I think, is pointing out that the Catholic Church has apostolic succession, that the bishops succeed in the place of the apostles, and that as such, the Catholic Church has a direct link back to the apostles, back to Christ, and obviously the Protestants do not. The new religions do no longer have these connections. Do we have any questions?
I have a question. One way I've been having trouble following along the wrong number. Mine says chapter 49, and they covered today.
Oh, well.
And then you said chapter 48, so yep. I was on the wrong chapter last week too, and you couldn't follow along.
Okay, you must have the reprint.
I don't have. I've had
it
for ages, so.
Yeah, see, I'm running
a
very old book.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So I think when they reprinted, they may have adapted it a little differently there. I don't know. Sister ran to get her book. Let's see. We'll compare it.
Okay.
Because she has one of the newer versions. What does Bridget say?
Mine has it as chapter 48. Some of the wording occasionally is differently, but so far all the numbers have matched up.
Okay. Sister says 48.
Well,
I guess, Gene, you're the oddball here. Everybody else is...
I guess I have an old book, so I guess I was on the wrong chapter, so I found my phone where you're at, so...
Okay, very good.
So 50.
Well, mine was matching me now. I checked mine, and mine has 47, 48, or it, like, breaks apart two chapters that are only one chapter in your book, it looks like. Because, yeah, the one we just did said 49. And then what we did last week, I think, was, in my book, 47 and 48.
Okay.
Okay.
Got
all right, somebody has different printing there. I don't know. We'll blame it on these reprinters.
Okay.
As long as we got basically the same thing, I think we're all right, and we can find the titles
not
and match them up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. If there are no other questions, then we can... And I'll say the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows, Benedictio de Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.